Well, I had something really interesting happen to me a while back. Actually, it was last year. I was going back to the office, but I had a lot of things on my mind. And so I got in the car, I pulled out of the driveway, started driving down the street, got onto the road. And the next thing you know, I'm pulling into Cienega High School's parking lot when I was trying to go to work. Has this ever happened to you? And I get into the right turn lane, and as soon as I turned in, I look and I said, what in the world am I doing here? Now there's a guard gate out front, all right? So now I'm thinking, what am I going to tell the guard? Because normally I'm either picking up my kid because he's sick, or I'm picking him up for summer, or I'm meeting with the principal or something like that. I had no reason to be on campus. So I pull up to the guard gate, and he rolls, and he's like, well, what can I do for you? And that's like, I'm here by accident. I'm sorry. It's just habit, you know, because I'm here like all the time. And so I turned around and went back to work like I should have done. You know, I'm kind of dangerous on the road. If you see my car, just kind of stay away. Because I'm a creature of habit, and sometimes habits are hard to break. Have you ever noticed that? And sometimes you will do something and completely forget that you were doing it, and you'll end up somewhere, and it's like, how in the world did I get here? Now, all of that happens because your brain is a complex organ that God has given you, and it is an incredibly amazing organ that he has given you. Here's just a few facts about the brain. The brain operates on the same amount of power as a 10-watt light bulb. The human brain can hold 5 times as much information as the Encyclopedia Britannica. It is believed the brain can hold up to 1,000 terabytes of information. Now, just to put that into perspective, the National Archives of Britain contains over 900 years of history, only takes up 70 terabytes of information, making your brain's memory pretty impressive. The brain is much more active at night than it is a day. Did you know that? Here's another one. Scientists believe that the higher your IQ, the more you dream. And I didn't like that one because I rarely dream. So I think the scientists are wrong. I don't know. I do dream. Apparently, most people dream, but most people don't remember their dreams. I don't know. I happen to live with somebody who remembers every dream in graphic, vivid 3D color. And I'm not that way at all. Researchers are learning more how the brain operates with respect to habit formation. Now, I just love brain theory. I'm very intrigued by it. And so a book came out last year. I hadn't seen it before. And I read this book, and I want to put it up on the screen for you. It's called this, The Power of Habit, Why We Do What We Do in Life and Business by Charles Duhigg. And I found this book absolutely fascinating. Here are some things that were in the book. How habits are formed. How they're used in our everyday life. How they're impossible to fully get rid of, and how difficult they are to control. But it is possible to change habits by creating more and new, more powerful habits. And as I was reading this book, I was thinking, you know, there are habits in my life as a Christian that I'm sure that God wants me to create. Neural pathways of habits that he wants me to create. And I'm sure that there's some habits that he wants me to get rid of. I'm sure that there's some habits that he wants me to strengthen. And as I was reading this book, I was thinking, you know, what a great opportunity for a sermon series based on habits. How they're formed, how they're strengthened, what they do in our brain, and how we should create strong habits of Christians. So for the next 5 weeks, we're going to go through habits for Christians, and we're going to talk about some of the research that's in this book, because this book is absolutely fascinating. You don't need to go out and buy the book. We'll talk about a good chunk of it as we go through this sermon series. But to start out with, I want to just briefly describe how habits are formed. And this is in the book, and he talks about it in depth, because a habit is an incredible mechanism that your brain has. When you do something the first time, there is no habit that is formed. When you walk down an aisle, and it's an aisle that you're unfamiliar with, you've never done it before, your mind is fully alert as to what's going on to make sure that you protect yourself. But if you do that a second time or a third time, what happens is that the brain starts to create neural pathways of having done that before. And so as you start to walk down the aisle, now your brain says, aha, I've done this before. And what happens is the subconscious part of your brain kind of takes over some of that function and allows the upper portion of your brain to look at other things. And the more you do that, the more ingrained that habit becomes in your head, to where sometimes you can do something out of habit that you've done a million times and you don't even have to think about it. For example, driving to work day after day after day after day, and following, you know exactly what lane to get into, you know exactly what signals you're going to arrive at, and you don't even have to think about how to get to work because your brain has kind of been hardwired to see how to do that, and it becomes a habit. Now, for those of you out there that are computer programmers or have done computer programming before, a habit is basically like a subroutine, which basically is a set of code that you send information to and it executes the code. And so in your brain, you have hundreds and thousands and maybe even millions of subroutines. So when you get to a situation that looks very familiar, your brain takes over and starts executing the subroutine. It's a very incredibly time and space brain-saving device to be able to do that. And that frees your brain up to be able to do other things. Which is why the first time that you're going to someplace, if you're unfamiliar with that place, you need your full and devoted concentration to make sure that you turn at the right streets and that you get to where you're going. But if you've been to that place 100 times, well then, or 1,000,000 times, you know, like work, you don't even have to think about it. You almost put the car in drive and you can be doing whatever you want in your brain because your brain's going to go because it has a habit, it has a subroutine on how to get there. Now, that's how habits are formed. Now, what does that have to do with our topic this morning, which is worship? Well, I think God wants us to have the habit of worship. I believe that God wants us to fully and completely have it in our mind that we are worshiping Him all the time, and especially on Sunday when we come together and worship. That's a good habit. As a matter of fact, in our worship service, we do repeat things over and over again to ingrain them into your brain so that they become nature, a second nature to you. And that's a good thing because then you learn it, it becomes a habit, and you don't even have to think about it. You know the words, for example, to the Lord's Prayer, or to the Apostles' Creed, or to any of the other liturgical parts that we do time after time after time after again, you get them in your brain. You know them. I remember years ago when we first came to Tucson, and I don't remember what was going on, but for some reason we had a computer downstairs and a computer upstairs, and they were linked, and they could talk to each other. And I remember my two girls, Krista and Lydia, one was upstairs and one was downstairs, and they wanted to talk to each other, and what did they do? They typed out the Apostles' Creed to each other. Now, I don't know why, but I guess it was one of those just weird things that they both knew it. It was a habit, and they had it ingrained in their head, and so they started doing that. And as a pastor, of course, oh, isn't that so cute? Yes, those are my children. But that's how powerful habits can be in your life, and we want those habits to be there. But there is a problem when those habits in your life. And I want to just spend some time this morning on Psalm 96, verse 2. Just take a look at Psalm 96, verse 2, and we'll put it up here on the screen for you, where the psalmist says, "Sing to the Lord, praise His name, proclaim His salvation day after day after day." So we are supposed to do these things, sing, praise, proclaim, day after day. It's supposed to become a habit to us. The problem is in verse 1, where verse 1, it says this, "Sing to the Lord a new song, sing to the Lord all the earth." See, one of the problems when it becomes habitual in your life is you don't have to think about it. When habits become so powerful and so ingrained in your life, you don't even have to think twice to follow that. And so the same thing happens sometimes in your life when it comes to worshiping or being in the presence of God. How many times have you habitually said the Lord's Prayer or the Creed, and you got to the end of it and you said, "How in the world did I get through that? I was thinking about the Broncos game yesterday and how the Ravens just crushed them in overtime and how cold it was to see their breath." Those things can happen when you do things habitually over and over again. But God wants you to sing a new song. When you are in God's presence, He wants your 100% undivided attention. When you pray to Him, He wants you to be focused and present with Him. When you are in worship, He wants you to be focused and present with Him. But if you do it habitually over and over again, your mind can go somewhere else, and a lot of times our minds do. I'll never forget the first time that we went to Cienega Creek Preserve. Now, I know I talk about it a lot in sermons, but you have to understand, we came from Denver. And Denver has a lot of green trees and grass and beauty, and there's a different type of beauty in Vail. I love it, but it's a different type of beauty than what we were familiar with in Denver. And so when we decided as a family to go down and just hike Cienega Creek, it was like we were transformed into a whole different area. There was cottonwood trees and grass and a flowing stream and Bambi playing there with Thumper. I mean, it was just the most incredible thing. And if it's the first time you've been at Cienega Creek, your mind is just alive and exploding with all the wonder of God's nature. And you don't know where the path is going, and so you have to carefully trod, and you have to look at every turn, and you don't know what's under the leaves, and so you're very careful about going in the leaves. And your mind, you are absolutely 100% engaged in that experience. But now I've probably been to Cienega Creek, I don't know, 100 times. And to tell you the truth, folks, sometimes I go to Cienega Creek now and I don't even experience the wonder and the beauty of it. It's just something I do, and the habit has been formed in my mind that I know that when I get to this point, I turn right, I go down this path, and I come back and I go home, and I've lost the wonder. And sometimes in our worship, we lose the wonder of the awe and the presence of God. And folks, if you're going to be in the presence of God, you need to experience His awe and His wonder. You need to be present with Him when you are in His presence. And our sinful brain sometimes will not allow us to do that. So what are we going to do? Well, there's an interesting scripture. This in the New Testament, we read it this morning, in John, this experience that God, that Jesus had with the woman at the well. And I just want, they were talking about worship, and this is what Jesus says about worship, beginning in chapter 4, verse 23. He says this, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and His worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The fact is, if we're going to be in the presence of God, we have to be 100% in His presence, and we just can't do it. Because of sin in our life, because we're always wandering in our minds, we cannot fully be in God's presence. But that's why in the New Testament, at Pentecost, God sent His Holy Spirit to His church, and to dwell in each and every one of you, so that when you are not fully present with God, He is fully present with you. His Spirit lives and resides in you. He makes sure that He is present with you, even when we aren't present with Him. We should be in the habit of worship. We should be in the habit of making God first and foremost in our lives, but we don't do that. But God makes sure that He is foremost in our life through the power of His Holy Spirit. I don't know if you know this, but I'm a huge buff of the Butterfield Overland Trail. And believe it or not, the old historic 1860-something trail goes right here through Vail. And it was a trail that brought mail, and it came, and there was a stop right here at Pantano Station and Cienega Station in Tucson. And somewhere on the Butterfield Trail, I'm not sure what, but they had driven it over it so many times with wagons that it created these deep ruts. And there was a sign at the beginning of one of these ruts that said, "Caution, this rut lasts about 10 miles. So once you get in it, you're not going to be able to get in it, out of it." Well, see, that's a perfect example of what a habit is. Habits, once you get in them, sometimes they are really, really difficult to get out of. Some of you may know people who have tried to quit smoking, or maybe you have tried to quit smoking. You know, the nicotine part of it is actually the easy part. The hard part is the triggers in your life that caused you to smoke, and when those triggers happen, fighting the habit that's in your brain that has nothing to do with the chemical addiction. God wants you to have that kind of addiction to Him. He wants you to be on His path that you can't get out of. And the way you do that is to habitually be in His presence over and over again. But the good news is that He is habitually in your presence. I know that you are going to absolutely love this sermon series. I'm excited to share some of this information. We're going to go through a couple other healthy habits that we should have. And we're going to talk about, if you've got habits that you need to break, the book does offer some advice on how to do that. And I'm excited to share that with you. In Jesus' name, amen. My life before you, I was a flame burning down. I was burning.